Good morning, family. Someone asked this morning how everybody was doing on the ski trip, and I said I think, well, I've seen a couple of posts, and I think we actually have a little bit of footage from Doug skiing. I think we do. Do we have that? Oh, there it is. Yeah. Keep watching for a second. Notice the lady down here on the bottom. She begins to cheer. All right. All right. That's probably going to do that again. You might have to click to the next. There you go. So I think everything's all right. I don't know. I don't know how Doug will come back, but I'll let you decide if that's real or not. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the love that you have given to us. Thank you for your very presence with us today as we worship you. Thank you for the grace and the mercy that you have freely given to us. Father, thank you for always believing in us and always loving us. Father, may we give you the glory that you deserve. In the name of Jesus, the church said, amen. It's been something on my heart for... I hope you hear me breathe. I don't know why that's doing that. It has to be on my end. It's not back there. Just forgive that. There's been something on my heart that I have... I don't know, it's just been heavy on my heart, and it kind of fits in with the text today. There's a disturbing, let me turn this off, I keep hearing that. That means I've got to stay here. That'll be hard. There's a disturbing trend among Christians today, not necessarily just of our faith tribe, but yet amongst Christianity as a whole. But first, the text for today. John chapter 4, Jesus encounters a woman whom... we might look different at in today's culture. They most definitely did then from the Jewish culture. And so we begin to read in John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. So now Jesus learned that the Pharisees, I don't have my screen back here, that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but the disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you life, he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I don't get thirsty and have to keep coming to draw water. He told her, go call your husband back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and a time has now come, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. What a passage. What a scripture. Jesus encounters this woman that most Jews would not associate with. They would look at her, they would walk the other way. They would say things about her that they shouldn't say. They would joke about her. They would make fun of her. For she is a half-breed. You see, you remember we talked about earlier that when the Israelites were taken into Assyrian captivity, they had children with those Assyrians. They became Samaritans, and so they were not God's true people per se, as they would look at things and look at life. As I said earlier, there's a disturbing trend among Christianity. And I've been a part of it. And I've seen it, and I don't like it. I think it's something that's going to affect the gospel if it already has not affected the gospel. In your outline, it says to tweet or not to tweet. You see, there's this disturbing trend among Christians, among people that call themselves followers of Jesus Christ, to not act like followers of Jesus Christ. For when we encounter somebody different than us, we tend to take it upon ourselves to set the record straight. And sometimes, many times, we've gone too far. We've posted things such as pictures as this one. And the next one. And we've made fun of those who are created in God's image. And the next one. We've even used scripture to make a point about somebody of a political party that maybe we don't agree with, and we have done so, misused scripture in doing so. And then one more, and then you can just go to the blank slide. You see, there is something in us that feels that we must say something about somebody else. It's difficult. It's hard. In a culture that we see that is falling apart, and they don't stand for the things that we stand for. It's not easy. Not just in social media. But we tend to think that we have the right to say things and to do things that we should not. I've had to make a recent commitment to myself and to others around me. Because you see, I think many times that I know more than the guys and the gals that wear stripes at ball games. You ever do that? Have you ever been there? I've had to make a commitment to say, I've got to keep my mouth shut, and my oldest is keeping me accountable. But we tend to do things because we say, I don't agree. And so I'm going to let it out. But in social media, and if you're not involved in social media, then you're involved in social gossip. Okay? Either way, if you're not on social media, you're talking McDonald's around the coffee table. There's this tendency for us as Christians to do things that I think it is having its effect on this world. Because while I don't agree, and I think there are some things coming in this world that will be very hard to stomach, things that are already here that Larry mentioned this morning. By the way, just in case, none of those posts came from here, from anybody in this family. There are some things that are coming that are hard to stomach. There are some things that when we look at, when we look at the Bible, they don't match up. And they don't look right. And they don't feel right. And they're not right. And I appreciate Larry saying, let's pray. Let's meet together and pray, or pray on your own. I don't think this is popular to say this morning, but it's got to be said. You see, brothers and sisters, we are misrepresenting the gospel when we do this. What did Jesus tell this woman? Why, you slept with everybody, and you had five husbands, and you were a failure in life, and you're living with somebody right now. I can't believe you're this way. Can you add your life up for me? But he didn't. He didn't do that because that wasn't the way that he wanted for us to represent him. That wasn't worship in spirit and in truth. What does that even mean? What is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. But it's also believing. John chapter 20, verse 31, it says, but these were written so that you may have, that you may believe in Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. And that is who we are. And that is who we stand for. We stand for believing in Jesus Christ and helping others to believe in Him. It's to get people to a better place. That's the gospel. It's about a mindset. Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, post, tweet about such things. Think about such things. Whatever you have heard or received from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. That's the gospel. Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, that's the gospel. That's the gospel we show. The gospel is freedom. Romans chapter 8, and verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is for freedom. Galatians chapter 5, and verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ set us free. You see, family, when we encounter this world and the things in this world that we see that don't jive with what we've been taught, the things in this world that we show up at, the women in the well, the woman at the well, or anything else in life, it's not our job to cast shadows. It was never God's request from us to do that. It was never God's request from us to bash somebody else who was made in His image. And for whatever reason, our culture, it's crept in to our Christianity that we've got to stand against that. And I'm here to say today that we stand for Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we stand for. We stand for the gospel. And this world may do what this world may do. And we stand for the truth, right? We pray, what Larry said this morning. We do those things. We do the right things in life. We let God be God. And we be us. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9. Paul would encourage the church. He would say, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful you do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is God's job. It has never been the job of Christianity to take on a political party or to poke fun or to make fun or to bash somebody who's had an abortion. I wish I could introduce you to Barbara Best. She sat down in front of me in my desk in my office in Oklahoma. And she revealed to me that 42 years earlier, she had had an abortion. And it had haunted her all the days of her life. And so when you tell somebody, you're not just making a choice, you're a murderer, it stabs that elder's wife in the heart. When we're hateful to those who have done things that we don't believe are right, we jab them in the heart. And we tear down the walls that God has asked us, and we tear down people that God has asked us to love. This world may go to hell in a handbasket, but God will be the judge. And it is not our place to judge. The woman at the well had struggled. She'd been married 5 times. She was a Samaritan, and she was living with somebody. And Jesus asked her for a drink of water. He didn't chase her away. He didn't tell her how horrible she was. Let the gospel, let the story remind us. It is God's job. And He will be the one to take care of things. I don't care if you like the Democrats or the Republicans or the Independents or whoever else there is. It is God's job to do that. We simply stand for the truth and love others. One other thing, this is hard, isn't it? It's hard for me. I don't know how to say this morning. I didn't know how to share this morning. But there's a world out there and they're watching us. I promise you, they will not want to be part of us for tearing down people that are made in the image of God. Do I agree with everything every politician does? You better believe I don't. I don't care what letters behind their name. I don't. Do I have opinions? I do. God has molded me. God is shaping me to be one who will love people, not hate. The story reminds us that we are breathing for a reason. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, and the old has gone, and the new is here. If you belong to Christ, it changes how you view the world, changes how you view everyone. What the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4 reminds us is that we need to use our breath for good. Tommy Harris had something to say. It should pop up here in just a second.
I don't have long to be up here. My father would say I have enough time to make a sandwich. I wish I could speak a meal, but they only gave me so many seconds. But I just want to take advantage of this moment. About 5 years ago, I lost my wife to a brain aneurysm. And I remember sitting in the same auditorium, in the auditorium just like you were. We were in Indianapolis, and me and her were sitting here, and I was watching a man come up there also and talk about how he lost his wife. And as I was sitting there in the audience, I was only married for 30 days at that moment. And I didn't know 11 days later I would lose my wife. So my job, we won't all, because I realize that death is a thing that happens in life. It's not a thing that happens to life. So my job is to go and tell everyone that is living to make life count. Make it count. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. And as you breathe today, when was the last time you took a big, deep breath? As I pulled my wife's monitor off and she took her last one, right now, take a deep one. Let it out. As long as you have that in your body, you got the Brady effect. That at any moment, I got time on the clock. I can come back at any moment. I know things happen in my life, but I can make a change at any moment. So I came here today to tell you, to encourage all of you that's going through a difficult time, that trouble don't last always. That I've never seen a cloud sit over one person's house for a long time. This too shall pass. It has to. So my job today to tell you all why you're here, to endure this thing. We've been made to endure the night, but our joy will come in the morning. Thank you, guys.
The woman in chapter 4 of John, she got new breath. She got a new breath that day. Verse 39 of John chapter 4 says, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many people became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. What hill do you worship on? That wasn't the issue at hand. You see, true worship in that moment was a relationship with Jesus Christ. Tweet about God, not about politics. Post about God, cool things, football. But don't denigrate souls that were made in the image of God. What does John chapter 4 tell us? Use your breath for good. Take what God has given you. And how, pardon me, however many days you have, how many breaths you have on this world, and use it for good. So that when others hear the things you have to say, they believe in Jesus Christ. When they hear us on social media or down at McDonald's drinking coffee or wherever you're at, when you go to work, young people, listen to me. When you go to school, that other kids believe Jesus because they see you and they hear you and there's something different about you. Use that breath that you have for good. That's what John chapter 4 tells us. Is it easy? Not always. You may have to spend some time on your knees before you get started on the day. God, help me breathe you into people today. Help me tweet you into people today. You see, when people see and hear you and me, they need to see and hear Jesus. Amen? And never, ever give up because of this life. That's what Jesus told this woman. It's what he gave her is another breath. And so today you might be here because you were drugged here by somebody. Today you might be here because you were guilted by somebody. Today you might be here because you're searching for somebody. Never give up. Because though this world throws all kinds of curves at us, Jesus is offering us water. Water where you never get thirsty again. Water that satisfies and quenches your soul. Not the physical body, because these bodies will go and be long gone after a while. But our soul will remain. And Jesus offers, if you're suffering this morning, water that refreshes your soul. Let's make a commitment today. At least in this family, at least in this body of believers, that the breath that comes out of our mouth, whether it be words out of our mouth or words on our electronic devices, let us commit to breathing for good. And today, if you are the woman at the well, maybe you've struggled in life, and your life hasn't gone like you planned. Maybe you need Jesus in a way that nobody else understands. He's offered you water, eternal water. And so the invitation is for you to give your life to Christ, to believe in the one and only Son of God and have life in Him, to be baptized into Him this morning. If you need Jesus this morning, if you need us to gather around you and pray, if you need strength from your family, I invite you to come down front as we stand together and sing this song.